Thank you, Brother Ben. Good morning, Fellowship Church. A warm welcome to all the guests that came to visit here on this lovely long weekend. It is once again a privilege to stand before you today to further delve into the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount. We will pick up where Russell left us off, having covered Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. He went through the section about prayer and fasting. Today, we will look at Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. For those newer to the Bible, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. It's roughly two-thirds through the Bible. As we embark on the short journey through Scripture this morning, I invite all of us to reflect on the state of our hearts and the condition of our priorities. In a world filled with distractions and temptations, it is crucial for us as kingdom people to anchor our lives on the solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. As we go through our passage, we will see that Jesus teaches us, kingdom people have an eye that desires God over money and the treasures of heaven over the treasures of earth. This brings true hope and joy. I'll say that again for those taking notes. Kingdom people have an eye that desires God over money and the treasures of heaven over the treasures of earth. This brings true hope and joy. Now, before we start, I will pray. Lord God, help us approach your word with humility and eagerness, seeking not only to understand, but also to apply these truths to our lives. May the Holy Spirit enlighten our minds and soften our hearts as we dive deeper into the riches of your word. Help us to have the correct perspective of the world and your kingdom. Lord, our hearts get scared so quickly. Teach us how we can anchor our feet on your solid foundation so we can have joy and peace amidst our daily struggles. Amen. Growing up in South Africa in the late 1990s and early 2000s was a period filled with uncertainties and major economic upheaval. The communist ANC government was increasingly consolidating its grip on power. Instead of the various branches of government functioning together for the good of its citizens, the legislative, executive, and judicial branches were all corrupted and used by the democratically elected government to enrich themselves while oppressing and impoverishing its own citizens. Some of you are second-guessing yourselves, wondering if I'm talking about South Africa or Canada today. However, what totally amazes me, even till this day, is how my father navigated our family through that rough time. I often imagine him as a resolute captain of a ship, staying at the helm while storms are battering the ship from every side. After losing his job as a top bank manager, he started his own landscaping company. But theft without any consequences was rampant in South Africa. So in one day, after a burglary happened, he lost everything. Needing to provide for his family, he completed certain certifications and became a security contractor. Unfortunately, only fractions of the wages worked were ever paid out. This being unsustainable, he partnered with a businessman, and after restructuring that failing company, making it exceedingly profitable, he was cheated and worked out. These sorts of events, coupled with government interference and vicious home invasions, went on for years. Yet time after time, my father drew on some sort of a seemingly inexhaustible source, which gave him hope and strength. Finally, one day, after observing my father for months, waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning, working tirelessly all day long, and getting home at 7, I asked him, "How is it that you haven't totally sunken into a pit of despair, just given up hope?" He gave me a very interesting answer. "Look at the birds of the air," he said. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not more valuable than they? God knows what we need, my boy. He'll take care of us. Don't worry. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. This answer was obviously taken from the passage that we will be looking at today. Please stand when you get there to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thank you. You may be seated. Our passage here addresses two fundamental aspects of the Christian life. For those taking notes, I have divided today's passage into two parts. Part 1, verses 19 to 24. How we view our relationship with material possessions. And then part 2, verses 25 to 34. Our response to worry and anxiety. Jesus speaks directly to the heart of these matters, offering insights that are as relevant today as they were when he first started preaching about the kingdom of heaven roughly 2,000 years ago. So let us start by looking at the first part. Jesus begins by addressing the issue of material possessions, likening them to earthly treasures. He says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Here, Jesus is not condemning wealth or possessions in and of themselves, but rather highlighting their fleeting and perishable nature. Earthly treasures are susceptible to decay and theft, making it unreliable and ultimately unsatisfying. What good is that stash of cash under your bed when your house burns down? Or what good is crypto when the government freezes you out of even accessing it? In contrast to earthly treasures, Jesus exhorts his followers to store up for themselves treasures in heaven. Right there, Matthew 6, verse 20. Unlike earthly possessions, heavenly treasures are incorruptible, unfading, and eternal.
These treasures are partly the reward of living a life according to God's kingdom principles, and partly Jesus himself. You might be wondering still, what exactly is a heavenly treasure? Is it something you will get when you die? Is it something valuable only when you get to heaven one day, somewhere in the distant future? If you have been paying attention to the words of Jesus throughout all the cohort sermons, it's clear that Jesus is talking about his kingdom being a place we reside right now. Not merely some future retirement, but the rewards are here and now. Who here has been on a missions trip? Wasn't that experience so incredibly rewarding and precious? How precious the treasure of coming to a community of brothers and sisters every Sunday, getting to know one another over time and spurring each other on in our faith. How many marriages have been saved or lives not made totally shipwrecked by having godly counsel from the elders? Who has sacrificed greatly to help a friend? Is not that fellowship so close and so sweet? What about listening to the instruction of your parents? Has that not saved you from so much pain and suffering? These are all treasures. Yes, ultimately, as we persevere in this life, we will be with Christ Jesus, our greatest reward and treasure. But don't miss the treasures he gives us, which we can have right here, right now. Jesus himself urges us to prioritize heavenly treasures over earthly ones. Why wouldn't we? It's a far better ROE. As kingdom people, our primary allegiance is to God and his kingdom. By investing in heavenly treasures, we have the privilege of participating in God's redemptive work and being co-workers right alongside him. Furthermore, Jesus warns us against the folly of pursuing wealth for its own sake, declaring, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our hearts are naturally drawn to what we value most. If our treasure is in earthly wealth, our hearts will be consumed by worldly concerns, leading us away from God and his kingdom. Next, we will move on to verses 22 to 23. At first glance, honestly, the wording seems quite odd. What is this I talked about here, and how does it let either light in or darkness into our bodies? Verse 23 and 24, or 22 and 23, excuse me, focuses on our spiritual perception and the significance of our perspective on life. Let's look at this a little closer. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. This verse uses the metaphor of the eye as a lamp to illustrate the importance of spiritual perception. In this context, having a healthy eye means having a clear and focused perspective that prioritizes heavenly rewards over materialism. When our focus is on God and his kingdom, our whole being is filled with his light, guiding our thoughts, actions, and priorities. Verse 23, but if our eye is unhealthy, our whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within us is darkness, how great would the darkness be? So Jesus is saying, in contrast to the healthy eye, having this unhealthy eye represents a distorted perspective where your priorities are skewed towards worldly concerns and desires. This leads to spiritual darkness and confusion. Jesus warns that if the light within us is darkness, the result is profound spiritual blindness and depravity. Overall, verses 22 to 23 emphasizes the importance of maintaining a clear spiritual vision and prioritizing God's kingdom above earthly treasures. It highlights the significance of our perspective in shaping our spiritual well-being, and it urges us to guard against spiritual darkness that can cloud our judgment and lead us astray. Jesus then, in verse 24, concludes this part with a clear admonition. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here Jesus plainly and clearly states, we cannot serve God and the pursuit of wealth simultaneously. It's a matter of commitment. Either we serve God wholeheartedly, or we allow the pursuit of material gain to master us. As citizens in God's kingdom, we are called to examine our hearts and evaluate where our true commitment lies. Are we prioritizing earthly treasures at the expense of heavenly ones? Are we allowing the pursuit of wealth to overshadow our devotion to God? These are questions each of us will have to wrestle with individually. I specifically mentioned the need for us to do this individually because naturally, when we're confronted with God's word and we perceive there might be some shortcoming on our part, we so quickly want to look at someone else, look at how big of a failure they are making, as an excuse for our somewhat small failure in our own eyes. Let us instead listen to the words of Jesus and seek to align our priorities to God's kingdom. May we be faithful stewards of the resources God has entrusted to us, using them to advance His purposes, and in so doing, store up treasures in heaven that will endure for an eternity. Now let's move on to part two. In the next section, we will look at our response to worries and anxiety. In verse 25 through 34, Jesus addresses the tendency of our hearts to be consumed by anxiety and fear, and then tells us how we can remedy this by trusting and depending on God. Jesus continues on from the first part by reassuring his disciples, saying, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. In a world marked by uncertainty and unpredictability, Jesus' words offers a source of comfort and hope. He invites us to release our anxieties and concerns into the hands of a loving, almighty Father who cares for His children. To illustrate the futility of worrying, Jesus draws our attention to the natural world. He points to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of so much more value than they? Similarly, Jesus highlights the beauty and splendor of the lilies, which are clothed in great splendor than even King Solomon. Through these examples, Jesus points to God's faithfulness in providing for His creation and emphasizes the inherent value and worth of His children. Just to be clear, Jesus does not promise that we will be dressed in fancy robes with more splendor than Solomon, but that God, the Creator of all things, knows what we need and He will give us what we need. Jesus then continues on and asks a rhetorical question. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? Look, it's right there in verse 27. Here Jesus challenges the idea that worrying can change or improve our circumstances. Think about it. Have you ever been more efficient at solving your problems by being totally stressed out about it? If anything, it probably only makes you less likely to make good choices, and it robs you of peace and joy. Jesus invites us to consider the uselessness of being anxious and to trust in God's providence to take care of His children. Instead of focusing on what's causing you to worry, Jesus offers a different course of action. He says, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Please, don't miss this. Here lies the key to overcoming anxiety. Fully commit to God and his kingdom above all else. When we make God's reign and righteousness our primary focus, we see his providence and blessings that flow from his gracious hand. Jesus calls us to reorient our hearts and minds towards God's purposes, trusting him to meet our every need according to his riches and purpose. This thing is, we are not immune to the pressures and challenges of this life. However, we should approach these challenges from a position of faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. I'll share with you a situation of my childhood friend who was the best man at my wedding. A few months ago, my friend was playing with his boy at the park. While playing, the father discovered his son had lumps on his back. At first, he did not want to make a big deal out of it and thought, well, little children can often be wild, full of bumps and bruises. His wife, however, is a nurse, and she realized it's much more serious. Little Jacob was diagnosed with stage 5 cancer. Apparently, when Wilms' tumors are found on both kidneys, it's past stage 4. Imagine all the emotions. I'll keep my emotions aside. But imagine all the emotions in a parent's heart. All the questions going through my friend's head. In all this life, he never felt so empty and lost without any answers. Are there sins in my life? He thought. I repent of all of it. Is there sin in the little boy's life? Lord, please forgive him. What about Bible passages about demons not leaving because there was not enough faith or fasting? So, prayer and fasting it is. Aren't there some verses somewhere that says, by your stripes we have been healed? Maybe I just need some more faith. Maybe a miracle. Lord, help my unbelief. Doesn't the Bible say we don't have because we don't ask, so Lord, please heal my boy? Maybe some of you here are thinking, well, wait, there's a solution. Take him to the elders. Let the elders pray. That will bring a miracle. Yes, they did that, but nothing changed. My friend told me he knows some of these things is just grasping at straws. But any responsible parent will dig and grasp at anything to make sure they have checked all the boxes. Unfortunately, after everything, there was still no reward, no quick miracle. At some point, he was trying to convince God of all the benefits God will receive by healing the boy. Look, everyone will worship you and praise you. The Lord does not need our worship and our praises. But God is who God is, he told me. Can I learn to wake up and praise him even in difficult situations, knowing it's awful? But you are God, he said. That's when I realized what truly is my reward or my treasure. If it's truly God, and I know he is good, then I can rest and trust in him, knowing that he gives and he takes away. Lord, blessed be your name. God is in control and ultimately works all things to make us better, to make us more like Jesus. It's not like God doesn't know what it feels like to watch his own beloved son die. So, this dear despairing couple learned to cast their anxieties on Jesus amidst the difficult times, looking to him as their ultimate prize, their ultimate treasure. Just as a short side note, the boy is doing a lot better today. It's very encouraging to hear. But to be clear, when Jesus says that God knows our needs and we should not be anxious, it's not that he is promising some sort of a smooth sailing with all our problems and awful situations just magically disappearing to bring us comfort. No, He says, in the midst of the worst trials, we can have comfort and peace by trusting in Him and knowing that His providence, we will have everything that we need. Not always what we want, but we will always have what we need. So let us trust in Jesus and cast our anxieties on Him, knowing that He cares for us deeply and will sustain us through every trial and tribulation. Let's also look now at some practical application of Jesus' teachings from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. How can we this morning not only be hearers of the word of God, but also doers, living as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ in a world that is often at odds with God's kingdom values? For those taking notes, number one, we should assess our priorities honestly and prayerfully. Are we investing our time, talents, and resources in pursuits that align with God's kingdom agenda? Or are we ensnared by the allure of earthly treasures? This requires a lot of introspection and discernment, as well as the willingness to surrender our desires and ambitions to Christ. In what way can you store up heavenly treasures for yourself here and now? If you don't know what these treasures even are, email the elders. Maybe not Jason. Let's give him a short break. Number two, strive to cultivate a love and devotion to God, prioritizing His kingdom above all else. This may require a reevaluation of our lifestyles, our habits, and our commitments. It involves the stewardship of our resources, time, talents, finances, in a manner that honors God and advances His kingdom purpose. So, are you looking for every side hustle to store up as much material wealth as you possibly can? Or are you eager to seek for opportunities where you can serve God or the members of His church? Three, which sort of things are making you anxious? Are these things that only God has control over? Remember, there are many perspectives on how you can perceive your situation. When you wake up in the middle of the night struggling to cope, pray and ask God for wisdom. Then discuss the issues that causes the anxiety with a mature believer and look at what the scriptures teach us about that. So in the face of uncertainties and all this upheaval, Jesus offers a path to peace and contentment by putting our faith and trust in His provision. Instead of allowing anxiety and worries to dominate our thoughts and emotions, let us choose to trust in the unfailing faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. He knows our needs. In closing, to every Christian here this morning, I want to remind you again, surrender your worries and anxieties to the Lord. You are so precious in His sight. To those who have not yet repented and believed in Jesus Christ, look to the perfect Creator of heaven and earth. Turn away from seeking treasures and masters that cannot satisfy. Forsake your old sinful way of life and count the cost of following Jesus. As the King of Kings, He demands total loyalty and commitment in every aspect of your life. But in return, you receive the greatest possible reward. You receive Him. Far more precious and satisfying than anything you can imagine, Jesus is worth leaving everything else for. He is the ultimate prize. If this is something you have been thinking about, please do not hesitate to come talk to me afterwards or some of the elders or some others that you have noticed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of gathering together in Your name, delving into the riches of Your word. Thank You for the timeless truths we have encountered today and the promises that sustain us in every season of life. As we depart from this place, we pray for your continued guidance and provision in our lives. Help us to apply your teachings faithfully, prioritizing heavenly treasures, overcoming worrying, and living as faithful stewards of your kingdom. May your Holy Spirit empower us to walk in obedience and love, bringing glory to your name. Amen.